What's up, Wildlings? Before we get started, let me tell you about the brand new sponsorship deal that I just inked with Audible. You guys know Audible. It's an Amazon company. We all use Amazon. And if you're a Sean versus Wild listener, Audible is going to hook you up, bro. I'm talking 30 free days of the Audible service so you can test it out, see what you think about it. And they're also going to give you a credit for a free audio book. And if you're like me and you love to read, but you're also really busy, audiobooks great, man. At the gym, on the go, in your van, when you're driving from town to town and you don't have time to crack open a book, Audible is what is up, guys. And also, when you sign up for Audible, you're helping out the Sean versus Wild podcast. They're going to give me some kickbacks here. Pretty simple. If you want to support the show and get a free audiobook and get a free month of Audible, all you have to do is go to your desktop or laptop. Don't do this on a mobile right now. Desktop or laptop only. Go to www.audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Go ahead and click get your free 30 days, sign in with your Amazon account, pick out the book that you want, and when you do, they're going to give a kickback to me to help me keep the lights on here at the Smithsonian. Again, audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Get your free 30 days and get your free audiobook right now. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And oh, yeah, people, it's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. This Tuesday here at the Smithsonian, I'm talking to Darlington Pairs, relatively new band here in Louisville. So we had a nice lengthy podcast for you guys to get to know them. Their music is absolutely fantastic. Very analog sounding, very classic rock sounding. It was right up my alley. And we have a lot of great conversation throughout this show. So give you a nice long podcast. I'm not going to cut it in half or anything this week. So enjoy, guys. My gift to you. But because the podcast is going to run a little bit longer, I'm going to cut this intro short here. But I am going to take care of business. You're going to want to go to audiophileinc.com and get your t-shirts printed. Shane has been doing my screen printing for, I don't know, 10, 15 years now. And I would recommend going to him if you have an idea for a band, a business, a brand, whatever. He's going to print on the brands that you like, the designs that you like, and give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in, because he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States. AudiophileInc.com, AudiophileInc.com. You tell him the Wild Man sent you. Tell him Sean versus Wild sent you right on over there. Also, as every week, I always try to remember to thank Joe Brock. This guy makes the show happen. He edits it, makes me sound like $100 every single week. So big thanks to Joe. You know what he does? He boops the dials and he makes it happen. So thanks to Joe. And then also thank you to you guys, the listeners. And I appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. And if you like what you hear, if you're a first time listener, what have you, welcome to the show. If you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe across social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You can email me at seanversuswild@gmail.com. Just let me know what you think. Give your feedback. Tell a friend. Tell your family. Tell anybody you know that likes podcasts about the show. We're growing the show one fan at a time, one download at a time, one listen at a time. So anything that you can do to help, I definitely appreciate it. Yeah, so check out Audible, by the way. Check out Audiophile Inc. Check out Joe Brock. He's going to make your podcast sound great. And then other than that, I think we got it all in pretty quickly. Let's let the podcast do the rest of the talking, guys. Sit back, relax, let's get wild.
Hey guys.
In this mic at all?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Coming in red hot.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for showing up fashionably late, bro.
Absolutely. I mean,
we
are a band.
It would be us if we didn't.
Yeah. My roommate was like, I was like, man, these guys are like fashionably late. And my roommate was like, yeah, they are a band. And it literally humbled me back to the days when I was a band. And I was like, yeah, you know what, dude? You're right. I can't say anything about it. You nailed it right on the head.
The honest to God truth is we actually have been working on band stuff all day. So by the time that we kind of like looked up and realized what we were late for, we were like,
yeah, I'm sure it was probably low on your list of things to do today.
Polishing some cymbals and testing those out.
It was just
all I did was pay bills and work.
Awesome.
Like
just chronologically
you
know, last as day.
You need to get the Fridays off because Fridays are Darlington Pairs day. Like Darlington Pairs.
I know
Pairs
it used
day.
To be Thursday and now it's not.
Get Fridays off, Bert.
Yeah. We spend literally the three of us all day at Friday. We just chill.
Now Mark has to listen to this.
And
yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mark, give him Fridays off.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah. Can I tell you a fun story about Mark Maxwell?
Please do.
Please do.
All right. This is a true story, and I've actually said this on the podcast before. So one time, though, literally 15 years ago, I did see Mark Maxwell like play. You know how like Mom's Music, you guys you know, work at Mom's Music. So you know
we're
what rock school is all about, right?
Maxwell's
yeah.
House
now
of Maxwell's music. House of Music.
Maxwell's yes. House of Music. You guys know what rock school was all about,
oh,
right?
Totally, oh, totally, yeah. Dude. I did rock
so
school.
They had like a rock school concert in the theater, like in that main stage area. And I do remember seeing, like it was yesterday, his band was playing, or he was playing as the front man of a band playing guitar. And he went for a guitar spin and he spun his guitar and that guitar broke free from its strap
faster?
Locks.
Oh no.
And it took out about three stage
oh,
mics. It was fantastic.
That's fantastic. Somebody else tells me this story too. That's not the first time I've heard that, but that is definitely a Mark thing.
Yeah, dude, it's a great story. But you know what? That's the price that you pay. If you want to be 100% red hot rock star, you're going to have to take risks like that.
You got
to
do the risks are always involved.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's like the best advertisement for strap locks ever.
I've ever heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got them. Maxwell's House of Music. They're
Maxwell's
there.
House of Music.
We can save your guitar and you can do sweet spins if you so choose.
D'Addario strap locks at Maxwell's House of Music. Feel the spin. Feel the
Mark,
sensation.
Take note of how awesome we're being to you right now.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
we love you, Mark. Don't
you. He's
don't
legendary,
listen to
though.
Anybody
he really
telling
is.
You anything.
You got to think about this, though.
Like
in Louisville music.
Rock star dad that I've never had.
But in exactly. Louisville music, I mean, Spanky Lee was absolutely huge in the 80s. I mean, this guy,
oh, yeah.
Not only, I mean, did his band do things and you know, his cover band is very popular right now and stuff, but I mean, he's influencing generations of people to pick up instruments
oh, yeah.
and play.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to go and open a music store.
Yeah, no.
And give kids guidance. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Mark yeah. Maxwell, best hair in the business. I'm going to say that right off the bat.
Without a doubt.
And thank
man.
You so much for what you have done.
Clifford's
besides
a close
Cliffy,
second.
By the
yeah.
way.
Besides
Cliffy,
yeah.
Cliffy, you
I'm
got
close,
your hair in
I'm
some,
close second.
You got
yes.
your hair in some
yeah,
Native American
glorious.
Braids.
Yeah, I French braided his hair today in pigtails, and it's actually surprisingly
it's pretty glorious.
Like, fitting.
It
I
really
know.
Is.
I expected it to be hilarious, but...
I might have to start wearing it like this now.
No. Yeah, you might as
dude,
well.
Anytime.
It's landing.
I expect it to be hilarious. It turns out you look like a model of some sort.
Yeah.
Sweet. He kind of looks like Blake.
Yeah, Blake.
From Workaholics.
There you go. You're just
a
bear coat away.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. Oh, yeah. Yeah, guys.
Your tagline is too good.
Yes, it's time to rock and roll all night in podcasts.
Is it rude
every
that
Tuesday.
We laughed just now?
No.
No.
Fully
no.
expected.
Dude, he's owning it. And
do people laugh every time?
No. This is the first time I've actually ever done it on the show.
Really?
Oh, like
feel honored.
Thing.
Now, that's like your Ron Burgundy
yeah,
sign off.
That every time.
That's your sign on, though.
But what do you do?
After
you just do your Paul Stanley. Oh, yeah! Like, you know, that's what's
that
up.
So
it's
great.
So good.
Man,
I'm pretty sure Bird was
I'm
doing
so
that.
I'm so glad you
yeah.
talked him into doing that
yeah,
during
so
the show.
Great.
That was so good.
Guys, before we get too far into it, I'm here with Darlington Pairs. I've got Bert, I've got Skylar, I've got Katie, and I got Cliffy here. And yeah, from Darlington Pairs, coming to hang out and chat with me today. But the story is actually last time, August 27th-ish, so some
yeah.
weeks ago, I went and caught you guys with Quick Runner, and I convinced...
Midnight Channels.
And Midnight Channels, yes, exactly. And I convinced Bird from Quick Runner to do all Paul Stanley stage banter.
And it was amazing.
It went over perfectly.
It was
yes.
so great.
No one felt awkward.
It
yeah,
went over as good as anyone would expect.
And no one liked it.
Yeah.
No,
but
it's not. Man,
yeah.
What?
That's the best, though, when people don't like your jokes and you just keep going.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
And
he was
relentless.
Yeah. He loved it.
It was great.
Well,
I enjoyed every second of it, if I'm being honest.
I personally am going to make this joke. I want to make this joke happen. I'm going to go, oh, yeah, people! Here we are, chat with Darlington Pierce tonight. Y'all looking good.
This is glorious.
Yeah. We got a lot of beautiful girls up in this podcast tonight.
Wait, am I multiple people?
And how many? One, how many girls?
Look at Cliffy's hair,
get
man.
Get y'all
he looks like a Norman.
He looks like he's riding a tricycle in a Norman Rockwell painting.
Guys, first question right off the bat. what are your thoughts on Kiss? And the thing is, what are your thoughts on Kiss versus Star Wars?
A funny story.
The two are not feelings. Even remotely relevant, but Kiss sucks. Star Wars rules.
Look, I have to tell you that
I will stand by that forever.
My mother claims that she hated their music, but she would watch them on mute because they're so interesting to watch, I think is brilliant.
That's pretty accurate.
I've learned more about Kiss since coming to this current job than I ever knew in my entire life.
Oh, previously. Man, because Mike watches it constantly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so
I walked in these... he watches it all the time.
I don't know who Mike is, but I'm going to give a big shout out to Mike right now. Thank you for being...
Mike McAfee, man.
Mohawk He's Mike, great. The one and only.
Thank you so much for being a Kiss fan. I actually... was talking to Cliffy.
You're disappointed that he's not the one talking to you right now?
Secretly. Maybe.
You might
have
to schedule a show with him, man.
But I was talking to Cliffy at the show, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to come into Maxwell's House of Music, and I'm going to be like, you know, I have to test out a couple of podcast mics, if you guys don't mind. And I was talking to him. I was like, yeah, we're going to set up a mic, and I'm just going to go, oh, yeah, people! Every time we do this one, the place lights up just like a damn Christmas tree.
I still don't know if you're going to like top Mark in his like single ladies sound text on everything, man.
Mark is a step above a lot of people.
Like
me
everyone.
Included.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got so much on you right now, like the hair.
That's true. The hair, yeah, absolutely. The hair, 100%. Here I am, my fat ass is wearing a Cactus Jack t-shirt. For all you guys listening right now, I'm wearing a t-shirt from WWE. Superstar Mick Foley, aka Cactus Jack, with a shaved head.
Everybody thought it was the Big Lebowski.
Everyone thought it was the Big Lebowski. Jesus,
Lord of the Cats shirt.
Yeah, maybe it was a Lord of the Cats shirt. No, it's Mick Foley. It's Mankind. It's Dude Love coming in hot.
Dude Love.
Cliffy, though, I want to say thank you first and foremost for being on the podcast, because your name has been mentioned on the podcast. It started, actually, episode 2.
Everyone knows Cliffy.
Of Sean vs. Wild is the first time we mentioned you. And then your name has just randomly popped up. And you've been a guest, a must-have guest on the show. So
Whoa.
Now you're here.
Oh, there you go.
I feel honored, man.
We've been like three or four places today, and Cliffy has run into someone he knows at
every
one of them.
Every single stop.
It's true, man.
Everyone.
I got free Qdoba today because of Jasmine.
Oh,
made me
dude,
pay
that's
for
the
mine.
Best. No, yeah. He didn't. I went behind and paid for it. Jasmine, your job is safe.
Although, I want to shout out to the bartender at where were we? The Red Tree or something?
No, Red Yeti.
The Red Tree.
No, it wasn't the Red Tree.
That's not a place.
Anyway, I bought a bunch of drinks and I went to close out my tab, and she was just like, you know what? Anyone ever asks you if anybody, like, if you ever got free drinks because you're hot, tell them yes. And then she, like, gave me my card back and didn't
and
even charge
like, this
me.
This is for Cliff.
It was awesome.
We're incriminating people left and right. Yeah. Their employers
hey, I didn't
are just
say
like,
her
after
name.
After this podcast drops,
no one knows
there's
who
gonna
she
be
is.
So many unemployed.
So many people fired.
If you are unemployed after this podcast, just hit me up, man. I'll put you on the podcast.
Oh, somebody's got to get this to Lara. Yeah. Lara, have you heard this?
Have you heard this, guys? But yeah, and Cliffy, thank you so much for uploading Haggard to YouTube.
It wasn't even to YouTube.
It was a Google video.
Even before Google YouTube video. Existed.
Yeah, well, that's been the background movie to so many of my podcasts. I'm surprised it's not been... The TV's off right now, but still.
Well, you guys are welcome, man. I literally put it on there so that I could put it on my iPod. Yeah. back in like 2001,
yeah,
probably, and yeah, that was the only way it would work.
I actually have Haggard on DVD. I bought it from Suncoast Video in the Green Tree Mall.
Suncoast, rest in peace.
Yeah, so RIP in peace, dude.
Maybe after this podcast is over, we can fire it up because it's still out there. It's still working.
So that would be excellent. I'm curious. Who all on the podcast has talked about Cliffy so far?
Oh, man. Well, mostly. Okay,
too many people, apparently.
Too many people, man. Everybody loves Cliffy.
He never talks on stage, but...
Yeah, rain boots.
God, rain boots.
Legendary, dude.
We're dropping rain boots right now. Trevor Neely, if you're listening, and I know you are listening because you're one of my biggest supporters, you need to get on this shit because here we are talking about rain boots, Kiss, and Star Wars. All right, what's your guys' take on Star Wars?
I love Star Wars.
It's awesome.
You guys don't know what's up. You guys don't know what's up, man.
Okay, I enjoy it.
The way you said you hated Kiss and then you love Star Wars, I don't
Whoa.
Know.
The two don't have anything to do with each other.
How they're related in your mind.
They're only related, slightly look like they're from outer space.
In my defense, I never even weighed in on Kiss.
They put on a very visual and strange performance. I'll give them that.
They look like the lost aliens from like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
You're right. Star Wars is
Yeah, they're lame. That's a gimmick. I hate it.
Yeah, Star Wars is lame. It is a gimmick.
Star Wars is not a gimmick.
Oh, man.
100%.
Actually, I wound up listening to a fair amount of Kiss as a kid because my mom...
Because your parents raised you up right
and they cared about you. They're Hotter Than Hell vinyl.
I have it over here in the stack. It's the jam.
My mom wound up not being able to listen to Kiss anymore because her mom, I guess my grandma would be the right way to put that, found that there was something that said hell in the title and was just like, no, Satan.
I gotta listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. It's forbidden fruit. I have to check it out.
Didn't they start putting warning labels on stuff and it just increased their sales because everyone wanted the one that was
It could
like,
be.
Probably you know, not because that's claims. How everybody works.
Well, that's classic. I mean, that's like selling Elvis away from the children.
So let's put these labels on it that they shouldn't listen to it and then
Exactly.
Sales that's like, increased because
and that, my
they
friend,
don't understand
how
the
music
children
business
work.
Works.
Yep, yeah, like Elvis's manager made a fortune selling I hate Elvis buttons because he knew they would sell because there were people because it was controversial.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
Fair enough.
Made a fortune on other things too.
Has anyone ever
read
Dune?
Namely Elvis.
No.
Because it's
nope, sorry.
It's like Star Wars, but it came out before.
But after
similar.
After hearing your
after fond hearing
words
talk
about
the movie,
it interests
don't watch
me.
The movie.
Don't watch the movie, but I will read the book.
I'll let you borrow it, bro.
Dude, all right, dude.
I have all of them.
Just like
how many are there?
About 17.
Man. I was about to say a bunch of people have taken over the franchise. Recently,
yeah, his son Brian Herbert took over the franchise. We're not here to talk about Dune, guys. All right, you know what? Enough. you guys have weighed in. Trevor Neely is going to be
fine.
Super
That's
happy.
Fine, but
on
if we run
Star
into
Wars.
Trouble, back to Dune immediately. Yeah.
We run into trouble, guys. This is our escape
Default
route.
Default subject.
Plan B.
Yeah, guys. So, now you guys made it here. So glad to have you guys on the show. And I caught you guys a few weeks ago, and it seems like you guys just maybe came out of nowhere because I'm recently just hearing about your band and stuff. What is what's the story? What's the backstory? What are the deets?
The universe brought us together,
right?
And it was
glorious
and meant to be.
Cliffy, do you want to go into details? Or
yeah, Cliffy's good at this.
The universe brings us all together.
I mean, if you want to tell it,
it's your
baby, dude.
I'd love to.
Yeah, it really is Skylar's baby. We're just kind of tag along.
We're followers.
Yeah.
So, over the last couple of years, I played with a bunch of beautiful people in a band called Mode Roulette, and I was working on some stuff that I didn't think would be right for that band on the side. And I had been working on tinkering with building my own guitar pedals, and I ran across the term Darlington pair, which is a couple of transistors which are linked together to exponentially.
Not gonna lie, I still don't
other.
Understand this at all.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, I'm interested. Continue.
But
electrical parts.
So I
science
I took that as a name, and I started writing a bunch of songs that just kind of flowed one after the other, and Cliffy's band. Jimmy the Two-Tone Leg Benders had set up a show over at Highland Tap Room, and Cliffy got in touch with me.
AKA the Legbenders.
Yeah, no, brilliant music from those guys. And
I have a lot of questions about the name, but this is not the proper place.
I mean, what's the question, man? It's like, yeah, it was cool. There's Jimmy, and there's a bunch of Legbenders, like, yeah, and they're two-toned.
They have two tones.
Yeah.
Now, it's all explained right in the title.
Right.
Yeah. But they were playing over at Highland Tap Room, and he said, man, do you want to come out and play some songs? And I was like, absolutely. But I don't think I can get the band together for that. But I do have all of this other stuff that's set up. And I kind of took a second look at it and was like, do you want to come play drums for these? Because I think they're going to feel kind of empty without that. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So, like, over the course of a week, we learned the entire set of songs that I had worked on.
Which was probably great. How many? Like, seven?
Yeah, it was like seven songs.
We had seven songs. And the first five, I had been to his house a couple times. And so knew the whole setup, like knew how he set up his drum set and everything. And within an hour, I knew five songs.
Yeah, it was
fair enough.
It was a very immediate process. And whenever we had everything practiced up, we went over, we played, and from the get-go, I started having technical difficulties. My couple of pedals on my board stopped working.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, like just
I'm a drummer. It doesn't happen to me.
We built all this stuff because he's
all acoustic. Awesome. But been there, done that. Yeah,
we wound up. I mean, to be honest, part of the problem may have been that I built several of them.
It was funny though because it was the looper pedal that wouldn't work. Yeah, and one of the songs like had to have this loop in it in order for it to basically work. And it just didn't work, and it was awesome.
It's the title track from our upcoming full-length release, Caravan. So we ended up bumming an amplifier from the other band and played through the set and kind of made it as good as we could. But it felt we were off balance.
Right.
And Bert was there. And
I was just hanging out with the Legbenders.
He was just chilling. And he came up to us afterwards. And
after just a couple of beers.
Yeah, yeah. But Bert never...
Just a couple?
But Bert, and this isn't a joke, Bert doesn't really drink, and so it had affected him. And he was like, you guys need a bassist? You need a bassist soon. I'm your bassist.
That's literally pretty much exactly how it happened.
And I was like, that's fine, man. Practice is on. And we just like set a date and we got together and started practicing.
Started learning songs, yeah.
Yeah, there were a couple of bumpy spots at the beginning, like there always are. And
did you play bass before that at all?
I did, yes. Yeah. I played bass at the tail end of Prices on Our Heads.
Or Pooh for short.
Yeah, Pooh for short.
Which if you haven't listened to that record, it is a great soundtrack to the day after an inauguration. Yeah. Just like, I got in my car and it was like,
Corey Havens and Chris Goins,
I admire geniuses. You more than I'm capable of communicating.
I just had Chris Goins on the podcast.
I did know that. He and I talked the other day. Yeah,
I still need to listen to that.
That guy hit me up the other day. He's like, man, I'm sorry I don't hang out. I'm like, dude, you don't have to apologize to me. You can hang out anytime you want or not. He goes, man, I just don't want to be that guy. So, Goins, if you're listening, you just come hang out anytime you want, brother.
Chris, hang out.
Yeah, seriously, dude, come hang out. I miss you.
Yeah.
See, anyway,
I've been seeing him like every other week now. He comes in the shop all the time.
Dude, I haven't seen Chris in years, and yet he somehow put his birthday in my phone calendar, and it pops up with a reminder, and I have no idea how he did
That's
it.
That's awesome.
And I have no idea how to change it. Like, it's just on there every single year.
Good
like,
why would him. You even
Chris
change it?
Yeah, why birthday. Would you? I don't know. It's just like the most important.
Hit that guy up. Give him a... I don't know, a case of IBC root beer. What is Goins like? I don't know.
I think Goins does like real beer. Dodie doesn't drink beer.
Yeah, that's true.
Dodie.
Dodie and I are good friends too.
I love Chris Dodie.
Dodie's like, brother, I went to King's Island. I'm like, yes, I love exactly everything he said.
I love King's Island.
He's like, I'm wearing a Sean versus Wild t-shirt over here to the city town. And I'm like, hell yeah, Dodie.
Rebel forever. Yeah,
shout out to Dodie.
He's the rebel forever.
Rebel forever. Okay, so, and you guys all work together.
Yes. Well, sort of. Either worked together or are alumni.
We're alumni.
I was the OG.
And then I joined in the next year.
Something like that.
And it was just the two of us for a while.
Yeah, this was whenever the there was a big transition between mom's music and Maxwell's house music.
House of music.
Because it was mom's school of music there for a little while.
Right.
What had happened was is Mark bought the business from his parents, Marvin and Beverly. They still own the store. That's over on Melwood in Louisville.
Right.
And so he hired me like right after he bought it from them. And then I worked there for a while. Katie took lessons there.
Since I was like 11.
Yeah, so she knew Mark forever just like I had.
And Mark went to high school with my dad, so he's just
That is true.
I get to hear lots of stories from him and my uncle. My uncle found a crap ton of like videotapes and cassette tapes from the 80s. Like some of them are warbled and awesome, and we sat in his basement and just listened and went through all of it, and we're just making fun of their outfits. Like,
there's so many great tapes. You can actually YouTube
their outfits.
Silver outfits that match the drum skins, like,
exactly.
And the hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was back when bands like gave, like, you know, just a little extra.
The only place where you could like buy that kind of clothes was like Fredericks of Hollywood out in like St. Matthews. So he would like beg my dad to take him over there because it was before Mark could drive. So my dad would drive him out there so he could pick out like spandex leggings from.
That's
and guys, if you don't know what Fredericks of Hollywood is, imagine like a Cirilla's, basically.
It's not that bad. No, it's not that bad.
It's like a Victoria's Secret, but a little bit.
There was a. A Fredericks of Hollywood, like in Hollywood, like right near where I moved to. So when we got there, my dad made me take a picture in front of it, and we sent it to Mark. We're like, "Hey, you need anything while we're here?"
I've never heard that story. That's excellent. Gosh. That's great.
You can get on YouTube and actually check out Spanky Lee at the Toy Tiger.
Yep.
Which is Toy Tiger, man? I wish that like a venue like that was still around.
Give us time.
The closest is Trixie's. Have you guys played Trixie's yet?
No, we don't plan to.
You should, because don't let the
name
fool you.
We hadn't planned to.
Don't let the name fool you. Don't let the environment fool you. The sound is amazing there.
Really?
And it is just a throwback. Like, it is a throwback to, like, a different time. 80s. It's much like the Toy Tiger, basically. Trixie's.
Okay.
Great venue.
I'll play there if Katie will.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well.
Katie, I don't know what Trixie's is, but
just go ahead and say yes. We'll play anywhere.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Trixie's used to be an adult entertainment club.
As so long as I can keep my clothes on.
It isn't any longer? Is that right?
I think half of it is, and then half of it's a music
See,
venue.
I didn't know that.
But the other, I think, honestly, between you, me, and everyone else here and everyone listening to the podcast, I think that it will not be for very much longer. I think it will be a dedicated music venue after
some radical.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Man, because we need more of those.
Yeah. Anybody,
I agree.
I want to play anywhere and everywhere.
Anybody out there kicking around?
Unless it's a strip club,
kicking around the idea of starting a music venue or opening up any space you have available for local music. Like, follow that idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
The world
here
needs more of that.
Yeah.
Louisville just kind of cycles through. You'll have a venue for a few years. Then they'll close down. Another one or a few more might open up for a couple years, and then that closes down, and it's just kind of like a
dude,
cycle.
We need earlier shows sometimes, because so many people tell us, like, we want to come, but we cannot stay up that late because we have normal jobs and we have to get up early in the morning.
Adult responsibilities.
Like, we cannot cater to the people who have real adult jobs.
That's
because
what happens when you're
we
in
play
your late
too
20s.
Late.
Early 30s.
That's right. Well, you meet your audience where they are, you know?
That's true.
Like,
so, yeah.
We're not just playing for ourselves. We're interested in playing for people.
I mean, we
who,
are
like,
playing for ourselves, too, but we'd enjoy it if other people
well,
liked
yeah.
it.
We would yeah. like it if we weren't just playing for
maybe
ourselves.
Maybe a little disingenuous.
I mean, we have a lot
bad.
Of fun
I mean,
just
we
playing
play for ourselves all the
in
time.
Skylar's living room, but, you know,
right,
if
yeah,
we
exactly.
could play other places. You know?
Oh, man. Actually, speaking of Skylar's living room, I know that you haven't been to one of these, but we're actually going to do a couple of these sometime soon. This shameless plug of this thing. It's not exactly a capitalist
right?
plug. Right.
You got to plug it, because I'm a big believer if you're not going to promote yourself, who the hell is going to promote you?
So
go ahead. Stay with it.
Local bands listening to this, or people who know local bands listening to this, I record music in my living room, and I've got a whole space set up, and we produce fairly high quality stuff, definitely fun to listen to. And we've got a series called the Domo Sessions, and Domo is, of course, like, it means thank you, but it also means house. And we...
In Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it means Domo in Japanese. It means house in Esperanto, but please, God, let's not get off on that.
Oh, yeah, but, please,
no one's learning Esperanto here, bro.
Just him. Go ahead. He can't talk to anyone, but he still does. Perdona,
senora. But anyway, no, that's a dangerous sidebar. But at any rate, we have bands in. They record a live session in front of about 30 people, and at the end of the night, if you've donated to the band and to the session, then you get your email on a list, and at the end of the night, you get a recording of the concert that you went to, and the sound is very good. We've had a couple of people, Midnight Channels, The Drowsies, a bunch of really, really fun local bands come in and do
The Thumps.
That sounds awesome.
The Thumps, man. The Thumps literally live two houses down from me.
they just literally carried their gear back to their house.
Yeah, it was wonderful, man. And every Sunday or so during certain seasons, you can hear them over there, like, playing their wild, demented Calliope music.
It's wonderful. If you don't know the Thumps or you haven't heard the Thumps, go listen to them.
Yeah,
their music videos are awesome.
They have an accordion player, and he's excellent.
You heard it here first, guys. Jonathan Pierre is going to be 100% telling you about the Thumps. Guys, if you are a local band, definitely check out Domo.
Yes.
D-O-M-O.
What's funny is I just said Domo, and then I raised my eyebrows like five times. And
yeah,
no one
that's
looked.
Cool.
Oh, man.
No, I sorry.
Totally missed it.
Hey, let me ask you this. Would you guys do a live podcast at Domo?
Yeah.
That would be rad.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Sean versus Wild will invade Domo.
Dude, Sean versus Wild is perfectly welcome to invade Domo anytime it lies. Man. And I'll get you the recording, like all of the mixes from that night so that you can include them with the podcast.
There you go.
It wouldn't be hard at all.
Maybe Sean versus Wild will invade Domo with a local band of, I don't know, of anyone's choosing. If there's a local band out there that you want to hear while I record live at Domo, just hit me up. At Sean vs. Wild Facebook or whatever. But yeah, back to the matter at hand. Darlington Paris, let me ask you this question. Because when I hear your music, what I love about your music is it has a very... it takes me back. It's got like a very analog feel. It's got a very 70s... I don't know, just something about it is just a throwback to me to a very live sound, a very tape sound, an analog sound. What inspired you to go that route? I mean, everything is so digital right now.
I mean,
you know
why not?
Pretty much everything you just listed.
Yeah. Well, we've got some heroes that are firmly planted in that world, which I think has a lot to do with it. I personally did a lot of reading and listening to Joe Meek, who was a producer in the late 60s, produced a bunch of number one hits in London just out of his apartment. And... it built all of his own gear, was very, very inventive, with the ways that he used his space. I also really enjoy working with media that are unreliable.
Right.
And tape is notoriously unreliable. We've got a couple of workarounds that we use personally to kind of, circumvent some of those problems. But, I love the sound of a record that has natural imperfections. Imperfections that have more to do with kind of establishing a dynamic than they do from distracting from the music.
Right.
And especially recently, some of the stuff that we've worked on has had those technologies included for that purpose. Whenever we recorded our most recent record, which is... I would say it's about to be released. We're leaving the podcast this evening and ordering the CDs.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So
it's on its way out.
Yeah. It's very, not already. Very close.
And if I can do another shameless plug, I did the artwork.
Yeah.
So if any of you guys need artwork for your band, hit me up.
Katie's a genius.
Katie's a genius.
Unbelievably beautiful job. And the album art that she created for us, it has everything you want from watercolor and psychedelic art, and it just is a very effective realization of what I had pitched to her whenever we started talking about the record.
Oh yeah, we spent 3 hours of him going through every song. I was like, and here's Japanese
portraiture,
and here's show me so many things. Arrival. And it took me maybe a month to process everything he said and condense it into something visual. It was a really fun and mind-altering experience, but it's the most fun thing I've ever done. So
yeah, another of our heroes that kind of influenced that analog sound, or just being as close to it as we possibly could, was King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, who we were actually talking in the back.
Off tape.
Dear audience, we were talking in the backyard for a couple of seconds about it, and if anybody has listened to King Gizzard and was worried that we might not have recommended it, it's in Sean's mind now. So, but they
I'm in your mind, fuzz.
I'm in your mind, fuzz. So we really admire their work ethic and the way that they create their records, which is largely on tape. They use like 1-inch 8-track tape and record a large number of their parts live. But they are incredibly prolific. They're releasing 5 records this year. And
didn't you say it recorded with a VCR?
Yeah, no. Their
ADAT machine, maybe?
Their record quarters, they recorded onto 2-inch tape. I've seen some of the studio footage. I may be incorrect about parts of it, but whenever they had the final tracks set up, I know that at one point they crinkled all the tape and like cracked it and warped it and bended it over itself so that whenever you played it back through, the tape would be like constantly fading in and out and pulling these odd little audio Houdini moments. And but they wound up doing some of the mastering by running the record through a VCR and recording it to VCR tape.
It makes me so happy and gives me so much hope that there's still people doing stuff like this. Just,
oh, absolutely.
How can we make this the sound we want and with the weirdest way possible?
And I mean, the best part about it is that they wound up creating something that sounds good by experimenting.
Like, I've recorded so a lot of bands over the years, and every time it's just been like super clean, you know, really polished, edited.
Digital, yeah.
I'm tired of doing that. It's too easy.
Yeah.
I want to work with stuff that can fail.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Upset you just a little bit every time that you listen back to it, so that you know it has an emotional response to someone.
Exactly. The imperfections lead to like a human element. And the thing is those imperfections, totally those things are missing from music right now, dude. There's no element of danger. There's no human element. It's all 100%. Digitally done, you know what I'm saying? And there are no mistakes, and it's done to where there is no mistakes. How did you guys do your new record? Who recorded it? Where did you record it?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, is it Brian Cronin?
Cronin,
over at Goldsmith Studio in Louisville, Kentucky.
He's got a beautiful facility, and
Goldsmith Lane, I take it.
Yeah, no, yes.
Why did I say that, you ask? Let me tell you what's up. My great-grandparents lived off Goldsmith Lane.
No kidding.
When you said Goldsmith, immediately I was like, oh, bam, I know what you're talking about.
We contacted him because of a couple of friends of ours, Scott Whitehouse, very earnest and
give
loving
it up to Scott Whitehouse. Thanks for the deets.
Yeah, man. Love.
Thanks for the hot tip.
So he let us know that this guy was doing the kind of recording we were interested in, and we contacted him via social media and just said, hey, we're really like psyched about what it is that you guys do, and we want to come out and check it out. And we scheduled the session and went out, and over the course of a day, about 14 hours, we went in, we recorded to 2-inch tape on a beautiful old American-made tape machine, and we did all of the tracking for all of the rhythm section and the basic tracks for the record live. So he would call out, you know, this is take one, rolling, and we would start playing. And so we got that feel of us in a room which is what we were after the entire time, and right. It's definitely going to be a guiding philosophy of what
it was
band
like
does.
Band practice through headphones.
Exactly, because yeah, awesome. that's how we work the best is when we're just all in a room together playing our songs.
Can
yeah.
I mention that the last track on the album Skylar did in one take?
Yeah,
one,
the last track is one take. The first
take,
and only take,
and it was perfect.
Yeah.
And the fact played and sang at the same time. Me personally, in my music career, starting my first demos coming out in 2003, 2004, I've never recorded this tape ever.
Really?
I never thought I would.
Hey, man, we just bought a tape machine.
Yeah, come over.
Yeah, dude. Cliffy's going to hit you up, bro. He's going to record that shit to Laserdisc.
Yes.
You ever had an album on Laserdisc?
You're about to.
I was gonna say, like, you're talking about on VCR, dude. Like, I do remember though.
Let's ADATs. Record straight to VCR,
straight just to VHS.
Well, ADATs, for example, were recorded on what, as far as I know, might have
basically
been VHS
like beta tapes. Yeah,
dude, beta tapes. Yeah.
Who was that guy in high school who would rig like old Game Boys and stuff to make electronic
like
music?
I don't know because I didn't go to high school with that guy.
Amazing. I have no idea what he's doing now.
He's probably just making meth.
No!
No!
Don't think the worst of people,
Sean. Don't wish that on him. Oh, my God.
Optimism is key, dude.
Dude, he's probably building...
He's probably Skrillex.
He's
right
probably
now.
Building custom Raspberry Pi circuit boards. His homemade computers probably compute better than anything Google
that's
has
true.
Got going.
Yeah.
He's probably listening to this podcast.
You know David Bowie's Starman? That guy contacted this guy.
No way.
He was waiting in the sky for this guy.
For this guy. But you know what, guys? I'm going to say this. Here we are, you know, somewhat into the podcast. And I've been talking about the recording of it. I love the recording of it. I love the way it sounds. And we'll get into, I think, maybe more of the influences here in just a hot second. But I want to play the song.
Real quick, before we do, I almost forgot to mention Nick Layman was on hand. Yeah.
He was cool, dude. Both of them just worked their asses off.
Yeah, Brian Cronin and Nick Layman created the most absolutely fluid, effective atmosphere for us to work in, and they kind of traded engineer and producer hats over the course of the day, and
everything went way too perfect.
Yeah,
we
left that place on a cloud.
Yeah, what's Nick's band again?
Yeah, we should.
Oh, Blackbirds of Paradise.
Blackbirds of Paradise.
Yeah,
and their Instagram is a bunch of like weird stop action like videos of birds and stuff.
That
Nick's
wife
does. They're really cool. Yeah.
If you haven't listened to Blackbirds of Paradise, go do yourself a favor because it's tapey and warbly.
Yeah, you're messing up.
Glorious. Yeah, they've done a beautiful job.
Well, shout out to them. And without further ado, I'm going to hit up Low, because I know Low is your new single.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play it for you guys here. So enough of us talking about how awesome it is. You're going to hear how awesome it is. This is Low by Darlington Pears. Stop. people! That was Darlington Pears with Low, that hot new single off that brand new album that's coming out. Guys, you know, while we were on the song break, I did mention about being verklempt
earlier. It's the only time Katie has known a word that none of the rest of the people in the room did.
Skylar is a walking dictionary. He knows every word, and every time I hang out with him, I learn a new word. He's like the word of the day app, but in a person.
He's like word of the day toilet paper.
The fact that a word came up
that I knew and he did not know
is like one of the most proudest moments of my existence.
I just want to make sure the whole world knows.
It happened here right on the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Right here, guys. It's a first for everything. I'm glad that we're discovering some new territory here. But, yeah, speaking of new territory and discovering it, I will say this. I have to give some mad props to you, Cliffy, for the video.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
You're the genius behind this. Am I correct? Would I be punctilious in assuming that?
You are 100% punctilious in assuming that.
Absolutely, whatever Cliffy, that means.
And Cliffy, I don't know what that word means.
Is a genius. I don't know every about sense that. Of the word.
When it comes to that. Art,
but Cliffy works hard.
But let me just say that a bunch of other people are geniuses, not just in this room, because they are, all of you. Even Sean.
You pointed at me.
Even Sean.
You pointed at me especially last, but Sean. I appreciate it.
No, I pointed at you first, because then I went around.
First and last.
You got pointed at twice. So.
The Alpha and the Omega.
From first to last, if you will.
Yes. Skrillex, if you're listening, shout out.
Anywho. But no, I actually, you know, we were talking about, Skylar, explain the song real quick.
Oh, yeah. Low?
Yeah.
Just explain the entire thing?
Just so I can explain the video.
Do you guys have an hour?
Okay, so.
We do, yes.
I don't know. I do know that this doesn't come through in the lyrics of the song, but the kind of germinal idea for the piece was to make something that had to do with creation and the ongoing maintenance of that creation and an eventual kind of dissolution of the same thing. And something that I used as kind of a mental image while I was writing was these factories where they are producing huge crops of food, like vegetables, over the course of the year, because they're growing everything hydroponically and they're doing it in a very organized fashion. And so theoretically you could have one of these places provide enough food for an area, no matter what the weather was outside, no matter what the season is. And so over the course of creating the video, I talked to Cliffy and was like, man, I just want tons of plants growing and lines of, I actually wanted like factory footage of these places, in time lapse, creating, all of this food for people. We didn't actually run into any of that, but, it's kind of hard to find, but we did wind up with this really long set of images about growth and about kind of the indwelling spirit of that growth, the plants themselves kind of coming up out of nothing and blowing up in these beautiful explosions of life, and then being present to like keep on preserving other organisms. That was kind of built into the idea from the get-go, and Cliffy did a beautiful job of putting the video.
It's a great visual representation of that idea. Now that you've explain that to me, because I've seen the video several times at this point. But yeah. And Cliffy, you destroyed the video. I thought the video looked fantastic. But what I liked about the video specifically is I'm a big tape head. I'm a big fan of VHS. I'm a big fan of it, honestly. And if you were to, say, open those doors right there, you would
see nothing but just
VHS
tapes. VHS copies.
That's
of
amazing.
Yeah, I promise you. Yes,
I have Star Wars on VHS tape.
So do I. Believe it or not, I actually have it on Laserdisc.
Air 5.
We actually had someone call out because we kind of tongue in cheek entitled it like official beta tape.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, those are actually VHS tapes.
Someone knew what beta was, actually.
It was, who was that?
It was LJ.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was LJ.
Shout out to LJ.
Shout out to LJ.
LJ, we're not nearly as sore as we sound.
But yeah, so like, what was your, I mean, I guess that kind of, I don't know, lo-fi or archaic technology. I mean, is that, was that your inspiration for the video?
Not necessarily. just like you, I'm a tapehead. I like weird stuff. And, I really love experimenting with video. It's a lot of fun. And, there's endless things you can do. And, the whole VHS thing, it's actually like, I'm kind of bummed because a lot of people are doing it now. I've been seeing a lot of music videos where people are using like that same, just like the same overlays and everything. And that just kind of, it kind of bums me out a little bit because I feel like it's going to become overdone. And so like doing more of it in the future, we might have to find like a different approach, but yeah, the video is essentially just, I could do this, but I really don't want to take the time to do it because it would literally take months. I mean, it takes months to make time lapses. So I just found, a bunch of like stock footage of those time lapses of just like the growth of plants. And, like I said, I love doing like experimental stuff with video. So I just found, I literally Googled trippy GIFs and found like just 40 different ones that were all crazy. And then I just started manipulating them. And so I kind of just borrowed a bunch of other people's art and manipulated it into our art.
It's very much a child, I feel like that's child of the internet age.
Yeah. I feel like that's all really art is though. It's just like, absolutely, recreations of different forms of art. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm a graphic artist, or I've done some graphic art, and most of my stuff is just the borrowing and the deconstructing of...
The reverse engineering of someone else's...
Exactly.
Yep.
Imagination.
That's all really any idea is, but...
That's very true, yes.
100%. We could get into that.
These things come and go in waves. Yeah. You run into situations where people like take originality and kind of being the source of an idea very seriously. And I think that those waves are really good for people, but there's a value to using ideas and editing them together so that you draw connections between things that have already been created. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I thank all of you guys that you love the video and everything, but I have to thank, anyone, I don't know anybody's names, but anybody that created those time lapses or those GIFs or whatever, like, thank you for that art. Thank you for supplying me with that art just out in public so that we can make this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there's a book somewhere. I don't know if you've ever heard of this book, but it says that there's nothing new under the sun. And I agree. I agree with that 100%.
That's, actually a library. It's called the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that you knew, because normally I would just say there's some book somewhere, but you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, man. Book of Ecclesiastes. You want to play this game?
But that's the truth, though. I mean, honestly, everything has been done. You just have to find a way to kind of just sneak past, sneak past the barriers that have been set and do something your own. I mean, there have been plenty of bands that have recorded to analog tape. Yeah. But the fact that you're doing it in 2017 is new and it's uncharted territory almost.
Location, location.
Yeah,
location.
I don't really know anyone other than like the guys I work with at the shop who have been playing guitar for like 40 years that have like ever recorded like to analog machines.
Exactly. I don't know a single one of my friends.
I mean, like I recorded like cassette tape demos like in my friend's basement in like the first band I was ever in, but like it sounded like shit, you know?
I bet it didn't.
Oh dude, it did, man. I tell you what, it sure did. It was,
vibey.
The music was good, but the quality was crap.
Yeah.
And I feel like what we've created here, like, really speaks volumes. Like,
Because it's not crap.
It's not crap. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's been a real collaborative effort. Of course, like Skyler was the whole like seed to the whole thing, but I feel like he really, Skyler like didn't let Cliffy and I like hold back. Like he would give us like some direction, but it was always just like, do what you think is right. Like he trusted us as musicians and like as creative individuals. And, I don't know. It's really made for a really cool thing.
And
like
bandmates.
And bandmates and like best friends, you know, it's, and, I've like any band I've been in, obviously like you're friends with those people, but, and we've always like jived musically, but I've never jived musically with the band like I do with this one. It's very
jive turkey.
Yeah, exactly. Jive turkey, baby. It's like, it's very, it's always been just like, so like you said earlier, like kind of like analog and organic and, yeah, that's a
You don't get that a lot.
I feel, and those are my favorite bands always. Like exactly. The ones that just like when you see them live, like they're just like, we're just like one big collective lump, and it just
that was a good onomatopoeia.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure it's gonna work without the hand gesture, but
I think they'll get it.
Yeah,
we need some liner notes. You guys got Bert makes a hand gesture.
It's like two claws coming together,
interlocking.
Yeah,
yeah.
The church,
just like
the steeple, see the people type
yeah.
of
exactly.
Part of why the whole analog approach has worked mm-hmm. is it creates a very strong premium on preparation.
Yeah,
You,
preparation prevents piss poor performance.
I know, you say right? That
time exactly.
Time yes.
Yeah, so whenever we went into Goldsmith, we were...
Five P's, yeah.
Yeah. We had practiced everything to very exacting standards so that whenever the tape started rolling, we would be ready. And that's one of the best parts about recording this way is, I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, imperfections make the music, and then start making a bunch of mistakes.
Right,
it's yeah. another thing to be really ready for that tape starting to roll. And to have spent all the time necessary to make sure that every texture, every note is prepared so right. that whenever...
And boy, were we.
And boy, were we. I tell you what, Garlington Pears, just the most prepared band on planet Earth.
I mean, Garlington I don't... Prepared.
Yes. I don't know.
That was supposed to be Planet Earth. It's getting late.
My harmonies that
I have
added
to add,
at the last
so...
minute...
Oh yeah,
Sean. I know you had mentioned
came
earlier.
She did such a beautiful job.
I came over at midnight before I had to get on a plane the next day. They were like, "Hey, do you mind coming over and recording some stuff?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course I want to come over and
yeah,
screw
so
packing."
I know Sean had mentioned this before. Anyone that I know, we don't have a ton of people following us, but those who were familiar with us, we were originally a three piece.
Right.
Yeah.
And Sean was confused when we showed up with four people
what?
With our friend Katie, and he was just like,
"So what do you do?
What do you do?
I didn't prep like, for this.
Who
yeah,
am
it's
I?
Okay. So
she sings, she dances.
We weren't ready.
Katie's
we were not prepared.
We didn't listen.
Of course,
we didn't.
Katie's
listen.
A very longtime friend of ours and a fellow musician and
a hell of a singer. With,
a hell of a singer.
Also a Maxwell's aww. Alum.
Yes,
well,
a Maxwell's
we
alum.
Background vocals, guitar. Keys.
Yes, exactly.
Sometimes,
like
she's
multifaceted.
Yeah, yeah right
they,
now
they are challenging me, and it's been pretty great, actually.
And artwork,
right? And
yeah,
artwork.
Yeah.
She did
I did
all
the artwork.
Artwork. Yeah.
And,
right now,
I love the artwork. By the way,
thank
I saw
you.
That.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
It just reminded me to me, and this is just my this is one man's humble opinion, and it sucks because when somebody gives an opinion, like that's not what I was going for. But I will say this: it kind of reminded me of it had a very psychedelic meets Middle Earth. Type vibe
yes.
is exactly
that's
nailed it.
What
I thought
whenever I wound up seeing it, and now not we don't sound anything like Hawkwind, but whenever I saw it, I was like, this is like a Hawkwind cover. I was like, I wish we would have made the record weirder so that we could keep up with this
hey,
beautiful
no, that's,
crazy
dude,
art.
That's LP2, man.
Dude,
LP2.
The amount of like
right
symbolism
on.
And things that he gave me that needed to be in the album cover took me like 2 months to process and find a way to put it in there visually, and I just hope that it all came through.
I should also add, we did a very cool thing
no, in
making the artwork.
No, we don't want to give all our secrets away.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
I'll just
like
say
it,
that
it's worth mentioning.
It is a collage of some very manipulated paper and ink put into Photoshop.
A very popular magazine.
Yes.
Yeah, actually,
we just melted
for,
them.
For, yeah,
no,
we have.
We don't,
who can
nobody.
Say why?
It's a mystery. Once what did we do?
Once again, borrowing art and warping
yes.
it
not
further.
Borrowing exactly. It. Well, see, it's don't not the it. Same. We changed it to the point where it's not that anymore. It's just ink running over a page.
But that's the game, yeah. man. And, you live in the 21st century. Yeah. It's your responsibility to find something that exists and destroy it. 90%.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And we did.
And then we
90%.
We did pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever, that's actually true. Yeah.
At
if
Goodwill.
You have ever happened upon the album artwork for when I was in a band called Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. Which you guys
shout out to Uh-Huh.
Was that you?
Okay.
Was that you? Oh my god. Yeah, that's awesome.
Friend of Uh-Huh Baby Yeah.
Ace of Bourbon Blood Drive, Ace Monroe, Blood Drive, all Monroe. The all the
dude,
greats.
You were in Ace of Bourbon Blood Drive?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
my
yeah.
god, dude. I've just been talking with you, but you're
but
a legend.
You know. Now you know.
Oh man, you had no
now
idea.
Now you know why my man has a podcast, and by my man I mean myself. But if you ever check out the artwork for Illuminasty, which is our last album.
Illuminasty.
Best
album I'm loving
name
it.
Ever.
That's so
I was
great.
So bummed Gosh. When we couldn't name our album that. And you guys already took it.
So it's called
Would Illuminasty. Have never showed up on Spotify.
And what's so great is if you look at the bottom, it's the city of Louisville, and then it fades up to just a kind of southern Indiana skyline to you know, kind of represent both the parts of where we are, you know what I'm saying? We're a Southern Indiana band. We play in Louisville. That's what the album cover is. But my whole goal was whenever I designed it is I'm going to put a bunch of really effed up S, since I know I'm not allowed to swear.
Oh, right on.
I think just
yeah,
no,
I talked to him
so
ahead of time.
Times.
I was like, I teach for a living, and I want to make sure everybody recognizes. Like,
so
I'm pretty sure I failed, and I'm really sorry.
I put a little effed up S. I put a little effed up S onto the album cover, but the thing is it's so minute and it's so minuscule and it's so faded into the background that literally if only it's subliminal to where if I pointed it out to you, you would probably notice it, but had you not
been
in the know, you would have no idea what's going on.
There's just some very dirty early 2000s meme in the background, or what are we talking about?
I don't think there are even memes in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I don't think there were. I don't think social media was enough.
Well, actually, if I could divert, because we talked for a moment before the podcast, a meme.
OT, I always say off tape.
A meme.
It's off topic, but I say OT. Like I'm recording to tape. Guys, this podcast is recorded on tape, analog. Go ahead.
A meme, by definition, is the smallest replicable portion of an idea.
I told you he was a walking dictionary.
And so, I just noticed your Twin Peaks tattoo.
Yeah, I got a whole sleeve of them, by the way.
Holy crap,
a whole
dude.
Sleeve.
Save that for episode two.
Yeah, no, we're going to have to talk about that later.
Well,
but
I learned about the meme from Grant Morrison's The Invisibles, if you're a comic book fan. But Grant Morrison's talking about memes and how powerful they are back in like the late 90s. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, here I am in 2017. And memes are the most powerful thing on the internet right now.
Yeah, man. Well, that's the thing. You take an idea and you boil it down to its most essential, most essential self. And then you replicate it. It winds up all over the place because it whenever you're that small, you can travel very quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so whenever I say an early 2000s meme, I recognize
you
that
meant
I've
2010s,
well,
don't you?
I recognize I've committed an internet faux pas.
I'm way too old.
But yes, there's and just all I meant was a replicable idea.
I'm going to crack open this can called Zero Discipline, which I know nothing about, but it has a flaming skull on it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
nice.
Man, it looks dangerous.
I'm sure
I looked for an ABV on there. I didn't see anything.
If it's
anything.
Good, I'll tell you. If it's not, I will tell you that too.
Then Skyler will probably drink
it if you don't. It's just near beer.
So, but before I get too deep into this Zero Discipline, let me talk about...
It's called Zero Discipline. Do you really think it's going to be a low ABV?
Yeah, exactly. This is going to be I don't know what this is going to be. It's going to be harsh.
Three sips of moonshine later.
Exactly. But let me ask you this, because Bert and I were talking about it earlier. With the new album, yes, it's recorded to tape, but you guys spent a lot of time on it in the post-production process of
yes,
it.
That's what's true.
What was that all about? Because I don't even know how to post-produce an analog tape.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? I never recorded
again,
to it, but
Cliffy Madden is a genius. Yeah. And as well as Skylar.
It's skeezier than you think.
But yeah, Cliffy actually, Cliffy did all the mastering. Skylar did all of the mixing in his home studio. Where we record.
I hated that beer, by the way. Go ahead.
That here, means Skylar will
wait
probably
a second. 5 seconds till a beer review.
Five.
Moment of four, silence.
Three, two, one.
It's very good. Bright malt character.
He liked it.
Bright and it has character. It has a present hop profile. It's yeah. in a can, so I can't really test the bouquet, but it is.
And guess
it's,
what?
It's certainly a high quality beer, whether Sean appreciates it or
not. Your boy
it's
got has cool white trash front, taste buds.
That's all that counts.
Yeah, Coors
Light, baby.
Coors Light.
I am judging a book Light. By the cover.
Fashion over function.
Absolutely. It has a late hop bitterness that does.
I'm a function over fashion guy. We'll get into that later.
I am too. I was just making a point.
Hit me with that.
But yes, pro. But yeah, Skylar mixed. Was it all the tracks? I believe
there is one titled "Awaken" here. That
yeah,
Cliffy
did do that
mixed.
One.
Yeah. And,
on it, can we talk about the drum that you recorded that
nah,
on, please?
We'll,
no. Yeah, yeah, no, this has
okay.
to be said.
Give us just a second, it. But I swear we won't get to the end of this without mentioning all of that madness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have a couple of secret weapons at my home studio. One of them is a monitor that has the tweeter sliced out of it and the baseboard
the horror
stuff.
Tone.
It sounds awful.
It sounds atrocious, but whatever's wrong with your track, and this is an old story because they used to produce Aventone mix cubes. I don't know if that was the original name, but it was just a woofer in a box, and it would let you hear what was wrong with the track because it was only mid-range. And so if there was something annoying, you could hear it, you could pinpoint it, and you could cut it out.
It would rear its ugly head.
Oh, we need to talk about your fake Leslie thing, too.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll get there.
My sister's name's Leslie. Go ahead.
Oh.
Right. Well, this is not her.
Shout
it's a counterfeit.
Yeah, it's a counterfeit.
It's,
go ahead.
But yeah, I went back and forth. I mixed the whole thing originally, just in terms of frequencies, in mono. I had a speaker blow recently, and so I had to mix it all on one speaker. And so I'd recorded it. I'd listened to it once on a high quality speaker, and then I'd listened to it again through this thing that it had half of its functionality slashed out, and you'd hear what part of it would bother your ear. And I'd go in and kind of slice that part out and bring the parts up kind of one by one through. Through that horrible, horrible box. And
every time he wants to play back through there, I'm just like, no.
Yeah, so we did about a week and a half of original mixes and would have everybody over and listen and say, okay, this part's sticking out to me. This part's too high. And then after we had spent some time with that, we wound up with strong mixes that... We spent about a week in the car with, just kind of listening back and
testing
forth.
Testing in everyone's cars.
Yeah, we checked in on a couple of stereo systems. We tested in people's cars. We just tried our best to make sure that there wasn't going to be some person with a pair of Apple earbuds who put it in and went like, oh my God, why does this feel like I'm stabbing my eardrums?
Right.
And whenever we were done with that whole process, I sent it over to Cliffy for mastering, and he would be much more well qualified to describe that whole process.
I just pushed a couple buttons, turned off. So it was good. Yeah,
it's all perfect. Buttons
because he's a genius. Yeah.
No, I mean, I wish I had money to have like an actual mastering studio, and so I just have to use it in the box, just in the box stuff, and. I mean, without just explaining it for like 10 hours, it's really not that hard of a process. You just have to trust your ears.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Cliff told me at the end of this whole thing. He's just like, listen to a few different sets of headphones and in your, you know, different speakers in your car and stuff, and just like trust your ears, man. Like
exactly. And listen to what people say. I mean, like if I played the masters for everybody and they said,
like, obviously you wanted to sound like your influences. Exactly. So like you have to like kind of put yourself in their mindset. It's just like, okay, if I'm listening to this record, what do I love about this record?
How would they have done this?
How would they have done this? Exactly. Like, how would they have mixed this and wanted it to sound?
Like we said earlier, I mean, you just reverse engineer
something that's already been
created. Something that already exists, yeah.
And that's the thing. As an indie band, it's part of your job to try and figure out what the simplest route between you and a good sound is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like when you listen to Led Zeppelin 2, it's just like, when you go back and watch Led Zeppelin footage, it's just like, okay, that's what the band like sounds like.
Yeah.
It's like live in the room.
That's exactly how
you can hear the reverb and like the real drums. And like, those are like some of my favorite records ever. No, like anything with real drums on it slays me.
Because you feel like you're there. Yeah.
Exactly. You feel like you're there.
You feel like you're in the room with them. As a drummer,
I felt the same way. Like I always, like even our records,
high five just happened. Cliffy, legendary high fiver.
Yeah.
But if you listen to, we just had two drum lessons high five each other on Sean versus Wild podcast.
But if you ever marked your calendar records, they are my drum tones.
Yeah.
Just replaced.
Exactly.
You know, but
see, and I could tell that when I've listened to a couple of your records and I could tell that they were real drums.
They were just real drums replaced. You know, everybody replaces the drums. You got to quantize them. You
not have to us.
Except
them.
No.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
Except that.
Nope.
Man, we were willing to produce something that was more real than it was.
I feel that.
Yeah, than it was fancy. And
like, there are some parts where like Cliffy's told me, he's just like, dude, like the way it was mic'd, there's like nothing I can do about it. And I was like, okay,
just leave it.
Just leave it.
Actually,
that's
this is
what it sounds like.
This is a good time to go back to this crazy kick drum.
Oh yes,
yes. Okay, so the track so
explain,
awakening.
Yeah. Okay, explain like our the normal drums,
all
like
right,
the normal
so,
drum setup.
We actually, if I could give a very earnest shout out to my lovely and beautiful wife, Erin.
What
Erin
a gem
Bray.
Of a human!
We love her so much.
Everybody loves
She's
her
great.
For a reason.
Yes.
And she was gracious and large-hearted enough to see that I was dying over this Ludwig drum set that was at the music shop. And she came in, and she put the money down, and she surprised me with this beautiful Ludwig American-made maple drum set. And it's just...
It's gorgeous. It's teeny
it's
tiny.
Gorgeous.
It's great.
My heart swells and it's hard to talk. So we did most of the tracking for the record on a kit that is all maple, so fairly bright, and a 20-inch kick drum, and 14 inches is the lowest tom on the kit, and all calfskin head. By the way, we I have some ethical concerns
sorry,
about
cows.
Having used. Yeah, sorry, cows. I felt
you just sound so
there
good.
Are no vegan
I've,
drum
I've
heads.
Gone
I'll
back
have
and
you know
forth
this.
On that.
I'll
yeah.
have you know this: there are no vegan drum heads.
There apparently
because
are no
guess
vegan
what?
Drum
heads. That oil that's placed between two plies.
Oh man,
that's animal.
Is it
no
really?
Way?
Oh,
I
wow.
didn't know that.
I didn't know.
I did
that.
Not know that.
You heard it here.
Thanks for
first,
that sales tip there.
Yeah,
I well, that makes me feel a little better about my decision to
go
use...
Are they gluten-free, though?
And
no,
they are not
never.
Gluten-free. Well, darn. Actually, they're calves.
Sorry, Katie.
Calves may be gluten-free, but I
feel... No, wheat. No.
Anyway.
Depends
anyway,
yeah. Them,
so, yeah, the whole record, I wanted to recreate a kind of old jazz sound in the drums as much as I could get away with in a studio setting. And so we used calfskin heads and... whenever we were recording the main tracks, that was the kit that we used. Also, just a brief moment of bewilderment. Cliffy drums with a pair of old Meinl Meinl cymbals and an old Zildjian cymbal, and he only uses the ride and the hi-hats, and there are no other additions or accoutrements to the entire kit.
Except for a tambourine.
Tambourine.
There's a tambourine on one track.
Can we talk about the day we spent polishing the cymbals?
Tambourine today?
Unsafe you mean
today?
Equipment?
Yeah, yes. That happened today. Yeah.
That's why we were so late, not just because we're a band, but we were
today.
I'll give all of you guys some really good advice on drums, but just off pee.
All right.
Off podcast. Hit it.
All right.
You got it, dude.
Off so today, top secret day. Today, and this is true, we were late largely because Cliffy and I had set a couple of 16-inch crashes up on a lathe.
Hey, I helped.
And we were... I apologize. Katie... Yeah. Katie also helped set them up, and Katie polished the bell on one of these crash cymbals.
Fair enough.
And it is beautiful.
But yeah, we spent a dangerous amount of time dealing with underwhelming equipment polishing these cymbals, and they wound up sounding pretty gorgeous. They're going to be on our next record.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all a bit of a sidebar. So Cliffy did most of his recording on this very simple kit, and we recorded one of the tracks, which is intended to be more of like
think Led Zeppelin
too,
right?
I almost said
upbeat, but yeah, it was supposed to be like a bit of chaos in the middle of the set, and. Brian, whenever we were working with him, was just like, I feel like something's not quite coming through on this. And so he was like, we have this kick drum in the basement that you should check out. And what was the number? 28 inches?
28 inches. It doesn't even have legs.
It's massive.
There's a picture of it on our Instagram. You should check it out.
It didn't need legs. It has its own weight.
It was freaking gigantic.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for my
We're trying. We're really
There's
trying.
There's a picture of it on our Instagram at Darlington Pears.
At Darlington Pears.
We now return you to the Sean vs. Wild Family Podcast. and yeah, there he was like, you need a dirtier snare and you need a bigger kick drum. And so he took this 28-inch kick drum, this old marching operation that had these gigantic heads on it, and he moved it up to the kitchen in the studio, which is a very bright, very unpredictable space. And
tile floor.
Yeah, tile floor. Tile everything.
Tile and everything.
It, like, half of the sound is stuff bouncing off the stove. And whenever he set it up there, he was like, okay, do you think you guys can play a track without having eye contact? We're like, yeah, we could probably pull it off. And so the fifth track on the record, Awaken Here, is done with a drum kit that we cobbled together from a 28-inch kick drum.
I want to point out that I was outside in the car with the windows closed and I could hear it blasting
it was
through
so loud.
The
it was
house.
Great.
It was awesome.
In the recording, we quickly found out in the mixing stage that in the recording, there's really no way to make a 28-inch kick drum sound like a 28-inch kick drum in your earbuds or in your stereo system. It's so huge, you can't actually replicate it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So you just have to imagine.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
You just have to feel the flow. While we are winding down here, I'm going to ask you guys quickly a couple questions. One, I'm going to start with you, Bert, and I'm going to work my way around. Your favorite band?
My favorite. Oh man, this is always such a loaded question. Because there are like,
can we do a list?
Here's
just
some,
like a couple.
Yeah, I can do
your
a brief
favorite bands.
I can do a very
brief
list.
Kiss is number one on
Kiss.
Absolutely not. That is not.
Oh yeah, people.
Oh yeah, people. No, that is absolutely not true.
To some people
I do
backstage.
Really. Okay, there are like two good Kiss songs. One of them is God of Thunder, and the other one is Detroit Rock City. I will say
so
that.
So many songs I got to show you right after this.
Okay, I'll think
agree
about it.
Agree to disagree.
If we have
agree,
to,
agree.
I guess.
See, yes, I can.
But
I can do that.
Band.
Okay, favorite bands. Okay, so I do have a Between the Buried and Me and Tattoo because Between the Buried and Me is they're so good. I love Between the Buried and Me
so
much.
Good.
So we got BT Bam.
BT Bam for sure. They're easily like alternating like number 1 to 3. I love the band Chon.
Chon,
C-H-O-N. Mostly instrumental.
Band. I love the podcast.
Not
Chon versus
Chon.
Beautiful arpeggio rock.
It's great. I love it with a lot of jazz influence. I love instrumental projects like that. I love Pliny. I love Animals as Leaders. I love stuff like that. One of my favorite bands of all time is a local band called Artifex Pareo. Easily,
Jordan Haynes.
Shout out to
Corey.
All those guys are just the nicest dudes, and they're just like their chemistry live, and just like in their out, like in their recordings, is just so awesome.
Jordan Haynes commented on a Facebook post that we made recently, and I think Bert almost cried.
Jordan Haynes has always been extremely complimentary of my musical career, and I appreciate that more than anything in the entire world.
We love you, Jordan.
Yeah, for real.
You're listening. You heard it. Skylar, what about you?
This is a dangerous question for me.
As quickly as you can.
Well, I feel like this might... that I don't mean to undercut my values here, but I worry that this might disappoint a couple of people. I've really enjoyed the first two Tame Impala records and their demos. I love the sound of those records. On a similar kind of tack, I really enjoyed Unknown Mortal Orchestra, especially their second record. Their third record was also like just really, really strong, and took all the things that made their band work in the second record and brought them to a space that they hadn't inhabited previously. I worked at Underground Sounds for a little bit, and I listened to a number of recordings that were a little more than I had bargained for taking that job. And right as soon as I moved into Louisville, I wound up hanging out in there a whole lot. And whenever I listened to things like Gabor Szabo, which he did...
Yes, he's so good.
Beautiful record.
I love that record.
Dreams. It comes up a lot whenever I think of what I'd like to make next.
I play that at the shop semi-frequently.
It's excellent. It's beautiful. And it's funny. He had a very kind of dappled career. Whenever he recorded things like Old Standards, I feel like it fell flat. But whenever he was really speaking in his voice, it was beautiful and textured and detailed and very unique. I grew up listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
Oh, same, man. Yeah. My dad...
Things that wouldn't surprise you at all.
Yeah, man. Yeah. My dad handed me Led Zeppelin 2 when I was probably like 12 years old and was just like, dude, listen to this week.
This will give you a fucking unibrow, man.
Dude. And it to this day is...
It's cool.
Hey, you know...
We've only dropped a couple. It's all right.
All I asked was that you say it, given the circumstances.
This will give you a unibrow. Put hair on your chest.
But, dude, yeah, brother. Man. Like, Zeppelin and Floyd. My dad was always listening to Fleetwood Mac. Like, I hear a lot of Fleetwood Mac in this record that we made.
If I have space for a mild tangent, my dad turned me on to Chad Stewart and Jeremy Clyde. They have a record that isn't particularly popular called Of Cabbages and Kings, that the first half is these very well
through the looking glass
meticulously crafted pop songs. The second half is this very strange experimental art piece called the Progress Suite that it involves according to them, all the steps of kind of the development of human history down to like the invention of the toilet.
What?
Yeah, no, it's crazy, and it's beautiful, beautiful music. It's kind of Simon and Garfunkel-esque.
Ooh, love that.
Yeah, no, it's really
Dad
cool.
Dad loved that, too. I listen to a lot of Simon and Garfunkel.
What else? I really, really, capital E, enjoy King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, who...
they are super
It was inevitable.
We've never heard him say this.
You guys peace out here. I'm going to be checking out their entire catalog here.
Oh, yeah.
Their record Quarters is unto itself.
Quarters is so
excellent,
good.
Excellent record where all the songs are 10 minutes and 10 seconds long. they have a record called Paper Mache Dream Balloon that draws
also
to mind...
Also one of my favorites.
Yeah, it draws to mind the Kinks very strongly. While we're at it, I'm a big fan of the Kinks, particularly their record Arthur, or the Fall and Rise, or sorry, the Rise and Fall of the British Empire, which is it was originally kind of conceived as music for a film, but over the course of their recording, I think that sort of fell through. But they've got records, they've got songs on that record like Victoria, or Brainwashed, or Yes Sir, No Sir, or Shangri-La, or Australia, that are very high on my list of things that don't just connect with me on an emotional level, but whenever I go back and pay attention to the details, I'm very deeply inspired and impressed by the composition there.
What about you, Katie?
I talked for a while. I
apologize. No, that's cool. Good. That's good. I guess I have to start with... I guess in grade school, my dad gave me one of those CD Walkman things, and I would carry it around at school all the time. Yeah, Discman.
Oh, yeah, who didn't have
whatever. And I would just listen to Queen and Genesis CDs over and over. And I got to sit in, like, when he listened to Pink Floyd, and he and my uncle have been a big influence. Like, they actually took me to a Roger Waters concert a while back.
Woo!
Likewise,
my dad did that, too.
Oh, so great. I'm a little jealous. Go in a completely different direction, and to avoid, you know, well, not to avoid being a cliche 20-something-year-old girl, Paramore.
Oh, dude.
I worship Hayley Williams.
Paramore is great.
I mean, honestly, any band that has a, sorry, badass female singer just, you know, is very inspiring to me. But her especially.
Oh, the dam broke at this point. You don't have to worry about it.
Sorry. Yeah.
The DAMN broke.
Yeah. So she was huge for me. Like, she got me through high school, I swear. I also want to mention the Civil Wars. I love them.
Oh,
they're
dude.
So dark but harmonic, and they talk about subjects that are not subjects you hear about often in music. And it's just beautiful to listen to. I don't think they're making music anymore, but I've got one of their CDs that a friend gave me that
John Paul White is,
listened to.
If I'm not mistaken.
He's doing some solo stuff. And he's great too on his own. So that's huge for me. And another one, probably not many of you have heard of, is Songs Ohia. I'm not sure if it's...
No.
I think he's got an album called Magnolia Electric Company, and there's Songs Ohia, and I'm not sure which one's the band name, but it is raw. He just sings. It almost seems like live, and his voice is so different because he just does not care. And it's one of those records that you just want to put on and close your eyes and just... gel out. I don't know if that's an expression, but it seems appropriate. It's just gelling out.
This is a little late, but he mentioned that, and I think if I didn't mention Iron and Wine or Sufjan Stevens, I would be very behind the ball. Yeah.
Just LA looks out.
Huh?
Just hair gel. Cliffy, what about you, brother? Just as we're wrapping it up.
Katie was probably going to mention this, but you didn't mention Billy Joel, dude.
Dude, I love Billy Joel. The song Pressure, the song... Oh my gosh, there's so many good ones.
I had a Billy Joel CD that I used to listen to. That it was one of those things where, like, whenever I thought about songwriting, I thought about, like, is the story complete? Would Billy Joel have included more?
And he's such a cool dude, too.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. All right, guys. And then...
wait, Cliffy didn't get to go.
Cliffy, you're talking about Billy Joel. Well, do you have anything else to add? I mean, what else are you into besides Billy Joel?
Cliffy is a maverick.
Oh,
Cliffy
no,
has
just,
more
just
to
got
add
into,
than
I just
you
got into Billy Joel.
Imagine.
Oh, you just got into Billy Joel. What else?
Man, Between the Bear and Me is another one of my favorites.
Yes.
Minus the Bear.
Gotcha.
They're a big, big favorite
of
mine.
Notice your Minus the Bear album out front earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
King Gizzard, for sure.
Yeah,
because they're just impossible
he
to not like.
He mentioned some of my favorite bands. Well, he mentioned Queen. Somebody mentioned Queen.
Dude,
briefly.
I love Queen.
Queen's
fantastic.
Forever.
Does anyone not
band.
Like Queen?
Black Sabbath. No
Shanda,
one.
Shanda doesn't like Queen.
Are you serious?
No,
we love you, Shanda. Shout
Shanda,
out to Shanda.
We love you.
I still love
come
you very
on,
much,
man.
But you're wrong.
I don't know who you are, but if you don't like Queen, I don't necessarily know if I... like you, so
well,
please.
I mean,
oh man,
to
well,
be,
the
to
rest
be
of
fair,
us
too.
She's
to
a
be,
lovely woman.
To
I
be
love
fair,
her.
She's
Queen,
awesome.
Queen has been curated at this point. A lot of records with some parts that didn't quite make it to the mainstream consciousness have been pared down to things like Bohemian Rhapsody. Actually, Bohemian Rhapsody is probably a bad example.
Don't Stop Believing.
That's probably a bad example.
She does.
No, but it's so great. I don't even care how overplayed it is. It's such a good song.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Exactly. But to be fair,
I listen to it right now.
Yeah. Likewise. Same. Anyway, but to be fair, she does love Fall Out Boy and Michael Jackson. So
fantastic.
I let that Michael one kind of slide.
So we're cool.
Because she's rad.
Guess what? You're cool in my book, bro.
Yeah, she's cool. Oh, but anyway, continue, Cliffy.
Did you ask if she likes Kiss?
Cliffy.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't like
she
Kiss.
She probably
so, but we need
them.
To know.
Who doesn't like
Kiss? I'll ask her as soon as I get home. Awesome. She's
but
asleep,
yeah, guys.
But awesome.
So we're winding down here. Like, this has got to be it.
Wait, Cliffy.
We are so over time, but I'll ask you guys this question.
But we love you. We want to stay forever.
No, I love
just
you guys
like
too.
Just random. Just yell out a bunch.
We heard a little thump.
Oh yeah,
the Spice Girls.
Oh yeah, people. Where can people find the Dawn
it never
Compares?
Gets old.
On Netscape Navigator.
Where I'll, people I'll find plug this because this is my job. You can find us on Facebook. /Darlington Pears. You can find us on Instagram @DarlingtonPears. And yeah, that's pretty. Oh, we're also on Bandcamp. Bandcamp, yeah, search Darlington Pears.
Darlington Pears tape.
Darlington Pears
tape. Yes, album coming very soon. We'll have it on
Bandcamp.com.
It's plural.
All platforms available, Spotify, Bandcamp, etc.
Yeah, I just bought Low from Darlington Pears tapes.bandcamp, so it's cool.
Tight.
That's impossible. Blur. You couldn't have possibly done that.
We're good.
All right. Anyway,
by now they could have. He all right. stole
that's
it.
True. Actually, I haven't looked at it today. Anyway,
anywho, thank you, Sean. Very
but yeah,
much.
Guys.
This
hey, thanks so man, much thanks for having us out. And let's go drink like a bunch of beers and let's just like just
I've
chill for the rest.
Already
of the
accomplished
night.
That. It's but a that sounds
night.
Great. Dude,
instead
it's Friday
of
night, hang out.
What if we did some breathing exercises?
Let's do some breathing exercises.
Yeah,
I'm
just
into it.
Relax a little bit.
All right, guys, this is it. This has been the Sean versus Wild podcast. Oh yeah, people,
we love you, Sean. Woo! We love you so much.
You wanted the best. You got the best. The hottest podcast in the world. The Sean versus Wild podcast.
Shelf podcaster.